All right, Dan Menigan's in today for Jeff. Jeff will be back with us on Monday. You know, obviously there's a ton of stuff going on right now, but Guardians taking to the field yesterday for the first time. You know, Ben Lively had to get the start in an emergency role because, you know, the next thing you know, your starting pitcher's got food poisoning. That's not good.
Poor dude.
But Lively was there the day before, so they knew there was a chance this could happen. So hopefully Tanner Bibee's back and ready to go for his next start, but we'll see what happens when they hit that spot. So we're kind of doing a little bit of your first thoughts on what you saw in the Guardians-Royals game yesterday. Maybe a little overreaction theater. And then there's this other question that kind of is sitting out there. You know, what is success for the Guardians this year? Because it's hard to find anybody that thinks they're coming back and winning the Central. We saw a little bit of that magic touch that they had last year to be able to win yesterday in Kansas City in extra innings. And for a second there, it looked like they were going to give it to the Royals in the ninth, or, you know, an extent. And by the way, didn't the Royals ran themselves out of the inning in the eighth?
Oh, goodness, they did.
I mean, talk about dumb. I mean, if I'm Kansas City, I walk out of yesterday's game going, how did we lose that game? Man, we Little League that game. We'll get one back later in the season where someone else is going to do something as dumb as we did today. But if I'm Kansas City, I'm kind of like, oh, man, what did we do? We just gave that game away. Nah, I don't know. Did they give it? I mean, it was still a close game. Maybe they didn't give it, but they gave away a better opportunity than they handed themselves. Although, man, how much fun was it to watch the Guardians hit in the top of the 10th? Whoa, man, that was awesome. That was a lot of fun. So
it was the way it should be. Like,
especially because, you know, they walked
Santana.
Yeah, they walked Santana to get to Manzardo yesterday. And I was like, this guy's hitting the ball pretty good. Are you sure you want to do that? But okay. All right.
You know, we could go full blown Mr. Burns on that. You know, the previous hitter was a right hander, and I brought in the left hander because I'm playing the percentages. It's good managers do to win baseball games.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Burns told us that also many years ago in that fabulous softball game.
I do remember that.
Of course. Yeah. But there were two things that stood out to the game itself that I want to hit on. One of them, and this might be just like one of those, like, you know, old man yelling at clouds type of moments.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please call the ball? Just call the ball.
Oh.
Can they please call the ball? I can't handle a whole season of outfielders running into each other and first baseman running
when
into
Thomas
catchers.
When Thomas hit Kwan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was looking at
it. I know it's
my
loud
daughter
in there.
Was sitting right. Was my daughter or my son? Or son. My son was like, I was like, why is this even in question? That's a center fielder's ball all the way. Like, we don't even, that's like the easiest rule you can teach a kid.
Yeah.
Hey, if the center fielder can get it, it's their ball. Always. Right?
Just call the ball. that's one. The second one. I can't believe you had Stephen Kwan sacrifice bunt with two runners on and nobody out.
Here we go.
That hurt my soul.
Why?
Because you gave up a free out with one of the 20 best hitters in baseball. You told one of the 20 best hitters in baseball, hey, I would rather you not swing the bat. I would rather you give up your at-bat to move the runners 90 feet when you could easily have slapped a double and scored both of them. Like, that was mind-numbing. That hurt my... I was yelling at that because that's just such a dumb
thought. Let me ask you, what was the result of the play?
A sack fly. That's what you got out of that inning because you bunted. A sack fly. Congratulations.
Let's go back to the bunt, and what was the result of the bunt?
Do I need to pull up the percentage tables?
I don't want to play your game.
Do we need to use probability again? It's not that hard.
The probability of hitting into a double play?
It's not with one of the 20 best hitters in baseball? And one of the best pure bat-to-ball skill guys that are walking around in this league?
And they were up, weren't they? They were up at that point. It was 4-3, wasn't it? At the point of the sack bunt, wasn't it?
You could have been up 5-4 if he would have hit a double into the gap. You could have been up 4-4 on a single to left field on a guy who
weren't they up 4-3 when he did the sack bunt? It was 4-3 when he did. What inning was that? Seventh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were up 4-3 at that point. So you're saying if you get the hit, then you're up 5-3, right?
Yeah. It's Stephen Kwan.
Or you go to one out, and you probably can assume that you're probably going to get at least one run out of it to build your lead a little bit more.
Do we all remember?
Which also would have kept you out of extra innings if that would have executed the right way.
Do we all remember the guy who flirted with 400 for a little while?
Yeah, and that's now he's hitting 500.
That's the guy you were like, hey, don't hit this at bat. Just politely put the ball down and run to first so everyone else
it's always
can
me,
get closer.
It's always me over team and Team Menigan. You
that's
get two runners
in the
scoring
name.
Position.
That's why Emmy's right there in the name. It's easy.
And who's up after Kwan?
That would be Jose Ramirez.
Okay, so why? I don't know why that's. I'm like, I am not dying on this hill that he wanted to have a sacrifice bunt.
You bunted yourself out of a big inning. Like I
did you,
could you
have opened up a bigger inning?
You could justify it a little bit more if you were like, okay, we had the bottom of the order do it. Okay, we had the number the eight hitter do it or the number nine hitter do it. Like, okay, you could convince me how that makes a little bit more sense. But the fact that you did it with a guy who flirted with 400 and you were like, nah, you know what? Your better use isn't doing what you do best, which is putting the bat on the ball and getting singles and pestering pitchers and racking up pitch counts and doing all those things that make Stephen Kwan awesome. No. We don't need that here.
You play blackjack at all?
We just need you to gently place the ball down.
Do you play blackjack?
A little bit.
Would you ever split tens against a six? No, you take your 20 and you go, and that's kind of where I feel like you would be on the stack bunt. Take your 20 and then watch the dealer bust. I don't have a problem with it. And I understand what you're saying about Stephen Kwan, and I understand your trust because I have the same trust as he does. But you have Jose Ramirez coming up next, and you're trying to get to the end of the game, right? You're trying to win. So you move two runners over, and now you got to. Oh, if you start pulling up percentages and stuff like that, I'm not going down this road.
How many double plays did Stephen Kwan ground into last season?
I was going to look that up before I brought this up because I figured that was the part of the argument that could bury me.
How many
double plays did he hit in spring training?
That would be five. That would be five in 2024.
How many opportunities did he have to hit into a double play?
That would be five. I don't have that in front of me.
What if there was only five chances for him into a double play?
I mean,
I'm kidding. Yes,
I mean,
I understand.
That would tell you that the bottom of the lineup really was dreadful.
I can't argue that, but you're also trying to start the season off on the right foot, and maybe you just want to play a little old school baseball. If you want to second guess the manager of the year last year, you knock yourself out, Dan Menigan.
I will second guess the manager of the year because he could have avoided extra innings. He could have avoided using Paul Sewald. He could have avoided all of those different things, all because he decided in that moment that he would rather. For some reason,
right,
fill up on fast food instead of holding up for the filet mignon.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm arguing with you for the point of arguing.
I figured
so
that was
I'm
the
done
case.
With that. So,
all right,
my bigger question is, what's a success for this team? What is this? To me, winning the Central is a success for this team. No one's expecting them to do anything this year again. No one has faith in the fact that they were able to, you know, be extremely competitive with the Yankees in the ALCS last year. Nobody saw that coming. I think that. There's an air of like bitterness from the media against the Guardians this year because they didn't make any major moves. And the one major kind of big move they made to bring in Santana was like a ho-hummer because of his age. Like no one was into it. No one was into it. And they're like, ah, you got rid of your second baseman. He could play some pretty good defense. Did you downgrade at second base? That's why. Like that's what they're all looking at. Now, do they have two starters they can count on, I think, that can go out there, you know, when they get their starts to get them a win? Yeah, I feel that way. Do you need a third to make you believe that they're going to win the AL Central? I don't know. You get guys like Lively that went out there yesterday. I'm not – and by the way, did he do his job yesterday?
Yep.
Three runs, five innings. That's all we're asking for.
Modern starters, yep. Yeah. Like, that's where we are in the modern starting pitching. And I know that probably makes a lot of old school baseball fans lose their minds, but yeah, that's the modern starter. Hey, give me close to two times across the order and leave me in a position where my offense can win.
So you're good with it. I'm good with what he did, especially on kind of short notice. He didn't have 2 weeks to sit around and go, oh, I'm the opening day starter. I'm the opening day starter.
I thought he was fine. I thought he did a nice job.
By the way, the most overrated thing, I think, is until you get to must-win games, I think – whether you're the number one, two, three, four, or five starter, you're the number one starter on the day they hand you the ball. It doesn't matter.
It's a great mindset to have. It's one of my favorite parts of opening day, like in general, is the fact that I can look at all the pitching matchups and it's all the pitching matchups I want to see. Like that's the part of it that's cool to me. Is it's all the stuff where I'm like sitting down and going, oh man, this is gonna be fun. I can watch the best of the best go up against each other. I can see the best of each team go up against each other. Like that's the part that's cool.
Hmm. 216-474-0092. Keep going.
So to me, what constitutes success for this season?
Mm-hmm.
Do it again. Like, as funny as this sounds, do it again. I'm not World Series or bust. I'm not you have to win the Central. I'm not you need to win all of the games that you won last year. Do it again. Make the playoffs. Make some teams sweat. Make some teams work. Do it again. Make it so that what we saw last year wasn't a fluke. Make it so that what we saw last year just wasn't luck and an ability to pull out one-run games. Like, do it again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let's go back and look at the last 3 years, throughout 23, right? They've won, what, 92 games two out of the last 3 years?
Wow.
Should you expect that or not?
It's a tough expectation because the division's getting better. I mean, the Royals are better. You saw it yesterday. That Royals team you went up against yesterday is better than the ones you've seen in a little bit. The Tigers are coming. They gave a scare to the Dodgers a little bit until Shohei had to hit one out. I mean, it's we'll see what the Twins look like. I'm 50-50 because I don't think Buxton, Correa, and Royce Lewis can stay healthy for long enough in the season to really make them contenders. But the bullpen's going to be good. The starter's going to be pretty good as well. Do it again. I know that's really simplistic, but that's where I am. Just do it again. Prove that it's real. Prove that what you're doing here isn't fluky.
I mean, why don't we expect more out of this team? Because they have a kind of a quiet offseason.
Yeah.
Go back and look at since 2016, they've had 6 years where they won more than 90 games. That should stand for something. So and I'm going to throw out the COVID year there, so forget about it. It's like, what, 8 out of the last 9 years they won at least 90 games? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should expect more. I want to, but are we letting our expectations and goals for this year be based on what they didn't do in the offseason? To me, that's a little befuddling. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan with Dan Menigan.